veins. I've been driving this train, years in this lane. There's no stopping this flame, cause I came to the game and I changed it to play how I like, rearranged it to my own domain. Yeah, I got what it takes, made lots of mistakes.
All right, welcome. This is Dr. Irfan Akpan, and I'm excited to be here. A little bit early, but I've got a special guest, Michael from Literal, who is here to really give some background about the platform, the business, how he got started. I think this is really going to be an exciting conversation. So,
yeah, thanks for having me. Well, thanks for having me, man. So there's probably a number of things I could dive into. I suppose I can start with a little bit of an intro and dive into a little bit about what we do at the most recent company that I started. My name's Michael. I have been in startups for a long time. I'm currently working on my third company. The first one was a company that we grew and it imploded quite dramatically. And then the second one was a internet marketing company that we grew and sold. And then this is my first venture-backed business that started in Spain with a buddy of mine. And so the company is called Literal, and we're on a mission to create a new generation of engaged readers. So we have a software right now that we work with school districts all across the U.S. To get students more interested in books. And that's the short version of what we do. But I'll pause there. And, Irfan, you tell me, there are certain aspects that you'd like me to dive into as far as the startup world or maybe fundraising or.
Absolutely. So you mentioned you had three businesses. How did you get into your first business? The second business you mentioned you exited. Could you talk a little bit about that? And then you said this is your first business where you've got a venture funding. So you've got investors. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, I mean, so a little more background. I initially thought I was going to go become a mechanical electrical engineer and go build robots. I loved building stuff. I got a little internship with a engineering firm in high school, and it was small enough of a firm that I got to see how it all ran. And that's kind of when I caught the entrepreneurship bug and realized the coolest thing, the hardest thing to build was going to be a business because it had this huge risk reward profile. And you were really working with people and getting people to do their best work as opposed to just computers and machines. So from there, I went into college and wanted to do something. And a buddy of mine decided that we wanted to do a penny auction site. Penny auctions are pretty big in Europe. And we decided we wanted to start something like that here. And we won quite a bit of money from some business plan competitions. Being poor college kids, we didn't have a lot of money to put into it ourselves, and so we did the rounds and won almost 50 grand I think in competitions, and used that to start building out a platform. And man, looking back, the things that I did not know at the time were really what did us in. So we really learned a lot in terms of what it takes to build a product. My development skills weren't near as good then as they are now. And we failed to get the product together to get the traction we needed to continue to float that dream. So despite a lot of help from the university, we ended up having to shut that one down. And that was a really neat learning experience for us. So. And then the second business that I started was a marketing agency. So we did custom web and app development as well as marketing. And that one actually worked out really well in big part because we spent the first 6 months going out and creating really great partnerships with other marketing agencies. What happens in the marketing space is it's really up and down. You get these influxes of customers. And then of course you don't have the team to fulfill on it. And so you've got to farm that work out. And we became sort of the de facto farm out team. So So we ended up doing a lot of white label work for some really great brands, including Planet Fitness and Culver's and big mining operation out of Australia, and grew that pretty substantially to the point that one of our partners, we got our partners basically doing pretty much all of the sales. Beyond that first 6 months, we just sort of had to sit back and fulfill. And at some point, one of our partners came to us and said, "Hey, we are sending so much work your way. Could you help us create this team in-house?" And the timing was just right. My partner and I happened to be getting, solicitations from recruiters to go join some bigger teams and do some more interesting things. And so we said, turned to our partner and said, "Hey, well, why don't you just buy us out and take our team and our lead flow?" And that's what they did. And that was another fun learning experience. And then spent the next couple of years building other startups, other founders' startups, as came into one as employee number 5, helping them with their sales team. And by the time I left, we were 300 employees big and had hit the Inc. 5000 for 4 years in a row. So a lot of fun experience in there.
So one of the questions that my students, particularly, I teach a course called Intro Business. Yeah. And in that class, I bring a lot of my friends who have businesses or started businesses. And the big question from the students is really about the mindset. So as far as what motivation, what keeps you motivated? What kept you going? I mean, you've been working in business. And I think what many of the students realize, because in that class, they put together a business plan and everything. So going through that process, when they start, you go on social media, you entrepreneurship is just so glamorous and it seems so easy. And then when they get into that project and then they start peeling back the onion on like, oh, okay, I've got to rent a space. This is how much this is going to cost. I don't have sales and I need to have the money for the space. And so you start thinking through those things. It kind of takes some of the wind out of the sails in a sense. So they're always asking about what motivated you, what kept, when I have visitors, what kept them going, what pushed them forward when things were going, not so great. So I guess that's the question that motivates you on that side.
Such a good question. I have friends at all different levels of business, folks that are doing $100 million ARR, folks that are doing $1 million ARR, folks that are just starting out. And what I have learned is that feeling of you're on top of the world and everything's going great, roller coaster, and then, hey, the next day everything's going to crap, I'm going to lose everything. That feeling never goes away, no matter what stage your business is at. And so when you think about mindset, just being neutral on those ups and downs, I think is really beneficial. And realizing, A, things are never as bad as you think they are. But B, things are never as good as you think they are, right? There's always a pros and cons of your business and your life at any given time. And so being a little more even keeled and not so reactionary to those ups and downs of the business, I think is really helpful to keep emotion out of the decision-making process. For me, it helps me not beat up on myself so much when things are getting rough, right? And just know, hey, this is the hurdle I have today. Tomorrow it'll be something else, and that's the business I'm in.
That's good. That's interesting. So it seems like a through line with your businesses are technology. So the Penny Auction, you had the marketing agency, now you have Literal. What pushed you in that direction with technology? Because many people, I'll tell you, I was just in a web interview earlier today, and we were talking about AI and about the challenges, and people are worried about AI and technology. and they're concerned about jobs. You know, I think it was yesterday, the day before, Klarna, you know, let go 700 employees and they're using ChatGPT. So why the technology space in it seems like it's very challenging. Why not other areas, I guess? That's the question.
I don't know. I think everyone's a little different. I love the technology side, right? But on the flip side, I've got friends that are going into nursing and teaching, and I couldn't imagine doing one of those roles, right? I'm so grateful that there are folks that are interested in that. But it's, technology was just the thing that clicked for me. So I really enjoy coding. I enjoy sitting down with a problem to solve, having to come up with a creative solution, and, you know, at the end of the day, knowing that I either solved that problem or I didn't. There's something really kind of nice and binary about technology. You know, I'm a bit of a futurist, I suppose, and that I do think that so many of the world's problems can be aided with technology. It's a fantastic tool to get us there. And then, you know, of course, AI is a whole new world that we're entering. And what I tend to tell people is, I don't think we're going to get replaced by AI. We're going to get replaced by people who know how to use AI.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah. So get to know it. I have too many friends that, you know, I got folks still in the video space who still tell themselves that no, AI in video is terrible. Have you seen it? It's terrible. There's no way it's going to take over my job. Like, I don't need to go learn it. I don't need to go. I'm like, dude, you've got to go learn it. You've just, in the last year, the progress that's been made in video on AI has been insane. And that's going to affect, I think, any aspect of our lives. Learn the AI tools that are out there, incorporate it into your workflow, and be the guy that can get the next job, retain that job, because you know how to be efficient with it.
That is so true. And like I said earlier, we were filming. So a company had myself and another colleague filming, and they had a sound guy. So they have a technician, and we're on this special software, and they flew these lights and all of this stuff for me to use for this recording. And my doorbell rang. And they kept ringing. So I unhooked the mic, got up, went, answered the doorbell, came back and plugged in the mic again. And the sound wasn't the same. So the sound person was so worried. Well, the light and the sound wasn't the same. So he was worried about all of that. We got the light better, but at the end of it, the sound wasn't working. So then he sent an email, because this software downloads the video to your computer, then uploads to somewhere else, and then he gets an upload. So he said he got it. My sound was off, but he used AI to make it better. So he said, is the AI, AI worked it out for my sound. So that is, you know, absolutely true and very, very interesting. So we've got a couple of minutes. Can you tell us a little bit about Literal?
Yeah. So Literal started out, it was a 3 a.m. drive to Pamplona to go run with the Bulls. And it was me, my buddy Lawton, and another buddy who was passed out in the seat behind us. And, you know, at some point, Lawton leaned over and said, hey, man, I've got this idea that I haven't been able to shake. I think we could make books more addictive than the Kardashians. And so that was the initial sort of concept, right? This idea that we all wish we read more, but we're not doing it because social media and other applications have just shortened our attention span so much that although we wish we were reading, we're not doing it. And so we realized, why can't we layer a lot of the same, you know, mental stimulus that that trigger that opioid system in our brain when we're on social media? Why can't we layer that into a book? And that's what we started doing. And we figured out how to get kids to spend per session more time in a book than they spend on social media. And we layered that in with some educational tools and started going around to educational conferences. And before we really even had a product, we had a demo. Went to a teacher conference, and within 4 hours, we had signed up the educators of 30,000 students who said, I need this. And so at that point, we realized we should probably take a step back and go build this product. And that's what we did. So, you know, we've raised $2 million since then to continue to expand on the product and build out our sales mechanisms and our marketing mechanisms. It's been, I think, 4 years now, almost 5 years into that journey. And we're about to prep to go raise the Series A and continue to grow.
That sounds magical. Being a professor and having students, that is one of the biggest challenges to just, if you're in a classroom, just to keep students engaged, you know. So I think that's amazing. That's wonderful. When you were mentioning that you signed someone up, I thought about I scroll on TikTok. So I was scrolling on TikTok and there was a video of another professor and he was in one of these auditorium halls. And so he had all of these students in there. And then some of the students had their head, they were sleeping or had their head down on the desk. Some were laid back. So in the video, he said, okay, we're going to take a break. So he stopped what he was doing. You know, he had his computer. He stopped what he was doing. He turned on some music. And he started doing this crazy dance, you know, just in front of the class. None of the students were paying attention to him. I was dying laughing, but the students still had their head down. They were on their phone. And the guy was, you know, doing this weird dance and everything for almost, you know, like 2-3 minutes. Goes back to his computer. He said, the break is over. And it just goes back to, and nothing changes in the classroom. So I think that being said, and having that sort of experience, we have students who are tired, in all fairness to the students. So I got to say this, particularly at my university, 60% of the students are student athletes.
Yeah.
You got a lot of them. They're tired. They're on the road. They've, you know, so I get it. But to have something like that, that can draw students away from social media, from their phones, I think that is amazing. That's wonderful.
You know, yeah, it's been working quite well. And I think what has allowed us to stand out and succeed where other companies have failed is that, you know, the bulk of education applications that are out there are made by these crusty old textbook manufacturers, right? And so it's a terrible experience. I think we were kind of one of the first to come in with a consumer grade, enjoyable product for students that, while at the same time, actually solved real problems for educators. And so, you know, we had to solve kind of two problems. One, we had to make sure educators' needs were met so they'd actually use us. But two, we had to make it an enjoyable reading experience for students so that they wouldn't fight the teachers every time they, you know, wanted to jump into literals. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. I want to be respectful of your time. I know we're a little bit over, but I really appreciate this, Michael. And thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on. I super appreciate it as well. And, you know, yeah, I'm eager to check back in and see how things are going on your end. And hopefully we can get you on some podcasts on our side. So
awesome. Awesome. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much.
Perfect. All right. Thanks. Have fun.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
My veins, I've been driving this train, years in this lane, there's no stopping this.